Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on the magical network known as Blog Talk Radio. Of course, taking care of the controls and watching the chat room and making sure we stay on the air. Melissa Hovey and Wayne Larson in Ohio. And as always, from his massive studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, taking care of our Wild World news, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Good evening, Mr. Batson.
So we have snow here in Clinton Falls.
We have a little snow falling here in Indianapolis.
Yes, that's So I would have to say now officially winter is here.
We will get ready for a rough winter.
Well, I hope not. I hope it's one of those mild winters. I don't.
Well, we're starting out the news tonight in Hagerstown, Maryland.
Well, I don't. To what?
Hagerstown, Maryland.
Oh, you know, it's Hagerstown, by the way, because I've been there, believe it or not. But anyway, I want to mention tonight's guest. Of course, they've been dealing with some cold weather. He said it got down to 28 degrees last night in South Carolina. Tim O'Connor is going to be here, a naturalist, nature guide down in Santee Cooper Country down in South Carolina, where I had the opportunity. It's been 2 years ago to go fishing down there. And plus, we went on the tour with Tim and had a chance to see some of the wilds of South Carolina. And one of the most extraordinary things I saw that day, Dr. Day, was holes in the side of trees that had been created by ivory-billed woodpeckers.
Oh, that's great news.
Oh, it was. Of course, they're several years old, but I just thought that was... There's something about that just gave me chills when he explained that. So, of course, they've been rediscovered in Alabama. So maybe, you know, one day maybe they'll return to South Carolina.
Well, I was relocated here to Indianapolis from Kansas, and I used to go to a little place in southern Indiana down around Poland when I was a kid. Now, I was a big bird fancier, and a friend of mine, who you know, Jack Hewitt.
Yes.
We used to go out into the woods there. We saw ivory-billed woodpeckers and heard them when we were growing up, but we were smart enough not to tell anybody because, you know, what happens when people find out there's an endangered species in the area. So hopefully we still have, have
ivory-billed. In Indiana?
In Indiana, yep.
Wow, well, we have to double-check on that because they thought they were extinct.
Well, so, let's hope not.
Well, I hope not either. Anyway, tonight the Wild World News presented by Dr. Henry Day is underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. Using an artistic, modern style, they produce affordable wedding videos. You might want to remember that, Henry. That are as unique as the couple that stars in them. JetKaiserFilms.com. Jet Kaiser's quite a talented cinematographer. He'll travel around the world. He's quite an artist, but that website is JetKaiserFilms.com. And he's our underwriter tonight for Wild World News with Dr. Henry Day. Go ahead, Doctor.
All right. Well, as we were talking about the rough winter, well, according to the Woolly Worms, get ready. William O'Toole, a weather forecaster for the Hagerstown and Town and Country Almanac, said the winter will be cold, snowy, and severe based on the markings of the woolly bear caterpillars. About 60 of the area residents submitted photos of the caterpillars, whose front and back bands were darker and thicker than average.
Oh, really?
They've been forecasting the weather for years, those little woolly worms.
And how accurate have they been?
Well, according to the Farmer's Almanac, they do pretty good.
Hmm. You know, I'd heard about the woolly worms, and every fall I always, you know, I observed them. And this year, in this area, I saw quite a few white ones, which I'd never seen before. So I was kind of hoping that might have meant we were going to have a mild winter. And then when we had all this warm weather this fall, I thought, well, the little woolly worms. So they're saying it's going, oh, my gosh, harsh and severe. Well, we've got that to look forward to.
Yes, we do. Okay. All right, now you want to talk about a wily coyote?
Okay.
Well, all right, let's run off to Boise, Idaho. A stubborn coyote may be roaming the streets of Idaho's capital, according to a state wildlife managers. The coyote was discovered Friday after complaints from Boise neighborhoods, but it escaped despite being stuck by three tranquilizer darts. The coyote, which appeared used to humans and possibly injured by a car, was able to remove the 2.5-inch long darts.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, if he could reach it with his mouth, I guarantee he's going to take it back out. But they're worried about a coyote in Boise, Idaho? Is that right?
Yeah.
My gosh. They need better things to do.
Yeah.
Wow.
Agreed.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. For you reptile lovers.
Uh-oh.
Des Moines, Iowa. Iowa Reptile Rescue, a shelter for abandoned reptiles, is staying open thanks to donations. KCCI TV reports that the home to about 80 reptiles and amphibians, including snakes, turtles, alligators, and iguanas, has raised the $2,500 it needed to stay in business. Now, a big hand out to Jason and Robin Argo, who operate the rescue center at the Shortridge Mall there.
It's at a mall.
In a mall.
Huh. So I wonder, do they charge admission to see the reptiles?
I don't know. You want to go?
Well, yeah, let's go. We'll get down here by 11. Let's see how long we're taking. You know,
right.
We used to do that. If you remember, Dr. Day, we had a reptile exhibit that we'd take to malls.
That's right.
And people would walk through it, and they'd leave us a donation. Instead of charging an admission, we'd ask for a donation. And it did okay. I mean, it was so maybe something like that's what they're doing in the mall. Good for them.
They're doing a good job.
That's right.
All right, now listen to this story. If you want to rescue an animal, call 911. Broadway, Virginia. Doyle Ritchie, who nursed a young deer back to health, has lost the animal to State Department of Game and Inland Fisheries and faces three misdemeanor charges, including illegal possession of a wild animal. Ritchie said he didn't realize he was breaking the law when he kept the deer in his backyard after it was hit by a car and later attacked by dogs. Now, if you're witness to an animal being injured by a car, call 911.
Yeah.
Don't take it home. Don't. Your animals, you've rescued a lot of animals.
Oh, yeah.
And everything has to have a license. Everything has to be done properly. You can't just take animals home.
Well, that's right. And a lot of compassion there, and it's too bad that they cannot make an exception, but they probably won't. I remember a young man that worked for me many years ago that had found a red-tailed hawk that had been hit along the road, and he called the conservation officer, and he had the hawk in his possession, which is illegal. And when they showed up, they charged him $50. So, yeah. Not too much compassion for wildlife sometimes.
All right. Well, let's head off to Honolulu, Hawaii, then.
Okay.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is reviewing whether a Hawaiian bird still should be considered an endangered species. The Oahu Elipeo, a dark brown and white bird found only on Oahu, is threatened by rats, low reproduction rates, diseases, and wildfires. The review is part of a regular study that's done every 5 years. It seems like 5 years is a long time when you're talking about wildlife.
Well, yeah, that's true, and it's probably all their budget can afford to do, and that's unfortunate. Really unfortunate, but hopefully they'll get that figured out. You know.
Well, while we're in the middle of the animal news here, unfortunately I had to work Monday,
mm-hmm.
but you were on a local television program here, Channel 8, Indy Style, with an alligator.
That's right.
I just wanted to tell you, I didn't get to see it personally, but there were a lot of good reviews. They basically all said that you just awed the studio personnel, but it was a great show.
Well, you can look at it on the internet. There's a couple clip services, video services that do have it. So any of the listeners around the world, if you Google Larry Batson, and that's with two T's, / Indy Style, Channel 8, Indianapolis, I'm sure you can find that clip. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. So it looks like we're going to do a regular thing for the local television station. So that's always exciting.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for the plug.
Well, you're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
All right, don't touch. Victorville, California. The Victorville Daily Press reports that two Mojave Desert agencies have developed an iPhone app to log sightings of an endangered species of desert tortoise. Called, strangely enough, the Mojave Desert Tortoise, the app provides general information about the tortoises, including a warning that it is against the law to touch them.
Really? Well,
what a great idea.
It's a great idea. This modern technology, I'm telling you, watch out, boy. It won't be long till every square inch of this earth will be observation of a camera.
That's right. All right.
It already. We don't know it.
How do you pay back a student loan? Well, I'm about to tell you. Clovis, New Mexico. A New Mexico State University student is paying for college by giving rides on his camel, Caesar. Edwin Snell, who has had Caesar for 11 years, says the $5 rides have gotten him through to his junior year as an international business major. Now, Snell offered rides at a parking lot while he was home for Thanksgiving this year.
Well, what about that? I've done that before.
I know you have.
I've
done that with you before.
Oh, I've worked with many camels and have gone to churches and different events, and we take a couple camels and give people rides and walk around in a circle all day. And yeah, it was a lot of work.
Yeah,
it was a lot of work. And the camel is not always the most easygoing animal of the animal kingdom. I mean, some of them definitely have a bad attitude. But we loved every one of them, though. Can I tell you a funny story? Do we have time?
Sure.
Oh, we took some camels over for a nativity scene once, and it was a living nativity scene, and I think we had two camels, and all they had to do was be in this one area. So we had the halters on them, we had some leads, and we had some stakes, so they'd stay in it. Well, the temperature, it was cold. Of course, people don't realize camels come from a desert, and deserts have winter season, so the cold weather doesn't really affect them. But the preacher that was in charge of the nativity scene, He kept insisting that the camels stand up because there's a wind, and what the camel's instinct was to sit down, and that was essentially warmer for them. So it got to the point where there was three guys that played the wise men. We called them the wise guys. They were standing by the camels, and all we had to do was get out of our truck, the warmth of our truck, and walk toward the camels, and they'd stand right up. And then the three wise guys, they watched us do it, so they thought they could do it. Camel was smarter than that. It wouldn't get up for the wise men. So, but that's my very funny story, and I guess you had to be there.
Well, this time of the year, I do remember that. I do remember that.
That was a lot of work, too.
All right. Well, we're running a little long tonight, so we better finish up here. Healthy 30-pound calf born at the Indianapolis Zoo. The Indianapolis Zoo has a new calf, but don't expect any mooing. The calf report, the zoo reports that the Atlantic bottlenose dolphin China gave birth to a calf after a 12-month gestation period. The baby dolphin, believed to be a female, weighs about 30 pounds and was able to nurse within the first 24 hours.
Well,
say the dolphin pavilion will be closed to let the dolphins adjust, but they hope to reopen it soon for the public dolphin chats. The dolphin shows are expected in a few weeks, and this is the fourth bottlenose dolphin born there at the Indianapolis Zoo.
Well, good for them. I'm so embarrassed that practically in her back door, and I had not heard that news. So, well, thank you, Dr. Henry Day.
Well, you're quite welcome.
You've enlightened all of us from the Massive Broadcasting Studios, Dr. Henry Day with our Wild World News, underwritten by Jet Kaiser Films. This entire program is underwritten by several fine folks, such as Jerry Jones at Tire Service Plus right here in Indianapolis. Their number 317-243-0700. They keep the animal truck on the road. And Peter and Kathy Wyam are way up in We Want You Cottages. They have a fantastic website. They're on Chautauqua Lake in fine state of New York. And on that website, they have something called iKids Fishing, where youngsters can download that picture, that big fish they've caught over the summer season, and compare it to young anglers all across North America. That website is www.wewantyou.com. Also, McGregor Mountain Lodge out in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado. That's God's country, everybody, right on the borders of Rocky Mountain National Park. Here's their number, or I should say their website, because now's the best time to go out there because you'll have the place to yourself. info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. And don't let the weather scare you away, because I've heard more than once that the weather in Denver is usually far worse than what's going on up in the mountains of Estes Park, Colorado. So that's McGregor Mountain Lodge. Also, Harrison College got a fantastic new vet tech school. That website is www.harrison.edu. Their phone number, 1-888-544-4422. Be sure you check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. And if you're still doing that Christmas shopping, which I know most everybody is, and you need a stocking stuffer, we have our brand new book for the kids. It's called Alphabet Swamp. And we will personally autograph these books, send them to you, ship them out right away, sign them to whomever you're going to give them to. So that's Alphabet Swamp at my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com. Those are our underwriters. They make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on the air on Blog Talk Radio. Tonight we've got a very special guest. In fact, one of our great underwriters. And I wanted to wait to mention them right before our guest came on. Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina. Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Folks, they cover 171,000 acres and 450 miles of shoreline. Known for world-class fishing, they hold 7 state records and 1 world record. The place is so big it looks like an ocean. It's a fantastic. We went fishing there a couple years. Well, I'm thinking 2.5 years ago. It was absolutely fantastic. So make your plans now. Here's that website, www.santeecoopercountry.org, or give the girls a call. Right there in the main office, they plan all the tourism. They'll book your trip, where to stay, and if you're going to go fishing, they'll get your guides, everything. That number is 1-800-227-8510. And when we were there, and I walked into the office and talked to Shirley and Marilyn, and they said, Larry, you've got to go on the Jungle Cruise with Tim O'Connor. And I said, okay, we'll go. And we had an absolutely fantastic time exploring with this gentleman some of the wilder parts of Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie, Santee Cooper Country, our guest tonight, nature guide Tim O'Connor. Good evening, Tim.
Good evening, Larry. How are you doing tonight?
Well, we're doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. A little chilly down here in South Carolina. but not too bad compared to my hometown of Massachusetts. Actually, I think it's a little colder here than it is up there right now, but it's not too shabby.
Well, I'll tell you what. I know the girls there in the office in charge of tourism. when they would come up to Cleveland and do the outdoor show to promote Santee Cooper Country, they were thin-skinned. I mean, if it was 30 degrees out, they thought they were in the Arctic. So I know right now they've got to be freezing.
Yeah. They're great girls, aren't they? Mary, Marilyn, and Shirley, all of them.
Oh, they are.
A lot of fun.
Oh, they're a lot of fun. I'll tell you what. It's
they are fun, and they know what they're doing. They know the whole area so well. I mean, good gosh. Mary is actually also from Massachusetts, but she knows the place like the back of her hand, too. She knows Santee Cooper Country probably better than anybody down there. It's unbelievable. If there's something going on down there, she knows about it.
Well, it's such a fantastic place. I mean, we had such a great time. We went fishing, and we've talked about this before on the program. We went out with Mouse and Boudreaux, and it was quite the day. I forget how many poles we put in the water, 7-8 poles. Of course, we're fishing for those catfish down there, or the blue cats, I believe.
Yeah, the Arkansas blue cats.
Yeah.
Monsters.
Oh, they're huge. I mean, and we'd have the bait out, and we'd be trolling up through this. And the lakes are so big. I mean, they're just unbelievable. And he would tell you, or she would tell you, that when your pole shakes violently, now that was the key word, violently, then you grab it and jerk as hard as you can. And I'd be watching that pole, and it'd be kind of quivering. And when we go catfishing around here, if it just moves a little bit, that means you're getting a bite. that was just the current making that. When the fish actually grabbed the bait, I mean, that tip of that pole just went straight to the water, and you didn't know how big a fish you were going to have. I mean, 10
oh,
pounds.
Yeah. Heavy tackle's a must there. It's unbelievable. My youngest son, when he was about 8 years old, one day out, they were out on the boat, me and a few other guys, and he was fishing with my own business, and he's over there baiting up his poles. That one day, he caught a 61-pound cat, a 25, and an 18-pound catfish by himself. Me and another guy friend had to net it to get it on the boat, but other than that, he did the whole thing. I said, man, 8 years old, you do that, throw the poles away because it doesn't get much better.
He was 8 years old?
8 years old.
Mike, and he brought in a... He caught a 61-pound catfish.
61-pound catfish, Arkansas blue. He reeled this thing. It didn't bother me watching him really. He had his pole bent over the longest time, and I'm watching him, thinking, oh, this is great for him. Until the fish got on the side of the boat, I got so nervous. I thought, geez, I'll break the hook, lose a fish. I started getting nervous, saying, you need help, you need help. And he's, no, I got it. It took him quite a while, but he finally got it in that side of the boat when me and a buddy could net it in the boat. But, yeah.
Wow, what
an for life.
What an experience too. I mean, we've had on several people from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they are so concerned about these youngsters nowadays getting outdoors because these kids spend all this time in front of their computers and their video games and so forth. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is really concerned that generations ahead that there may not be enough biologists and zoologists and naturalists and so forth to fill these jobs that are going to be required to be filled.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that a lot of them don't get out a little more. I mean, I'm very fortunate. My three kids grew up with me for the most part doing wildlife tours, and it's a good portion of their life in a state park. And I don't know if they realize it yet, but probably as they get 30 years old or so, they'll say, you know, that was a great childhood to grow up like that. And I hope that's how they look at it, not just my... Dad forced me to go on these wildlife tours all the time, keeping us camping, fishing, and hunting. Hopefully they'll look back at it in a good way. I think they will.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've worked with wild animals for years, and I've been here, there, and everywhere. But myself and my good friend Bill Shirk, we came down. Well, the girls, right away when we walked in the office, they looking for things to do that day, they said, you need to go with Tim on that jungle tour, and they gave you a call, and he said, oh, yeah, we've got some openings, and we hurry up, got over there and went on. And I had an absolutely fantastic time.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. We get a lot of people all over the, actually, I was going to say all over the country, but it's really all over the world that come out there. They, a lot of people that have been over down 95, they drive across I-95 going across the lakes. And when you get out of there, you can't even see the far end of the lake. So, I mean, things are huge. And I get people that say, you know, I've been driving over this lake for 10 years. I always thought I have to stop sometime, and finally did. And next thing you know, I see them the next year. Hey, we bought a house. We moved out. Beautiful place. I mean, gorgeous. And I'm not a native, but you can't pry me out of here with a crowbar. I mean, it's gorgeous. Great for any outdoorsman. I mean, you know, the fishing, hunting, everything. Beautiful area.
I would probably say the realty business, it slowed down all across the country, but I bet in that part of the world it's not off as much as it is, let's say, in the Midwest.
Well, they say it's growing pretty good, but you can definitely tell it slowed down when the market dropped. But, yeah, it's still, this place is selling around. There's people moving in. A lot of people that move to, say, from up north, move down to Florida, and they call them halfbacks around here. They move halfway back. They go to South Carolina and just to get out of Florida and stayed here. So
you've gone back in these waters on these tours for how many years have you been doing that, Tim?
I've been doing about 10 or 10, 11 years, roughly, something like that. Great place to have a job. We go out, it's about a two-hour trip. I don't know if you recall, but it takes about 2 hours out of the Santee State Park.
Uh-huh.
And when we get across the lake, we give them the whole history, how and why, because, I mean, as much as I like the wildlife there, the history on the place is just incredible. How the whole place was built, I mean, not just Francis Marion, you know, the Swamp Fox, but just the building of the lakes, how quick it was, what a monumental building project it was in its time, and just an engineering marvel, the lock system, tallest lock in the world when it was built, 42 miles of dams and dikes. I mean, that was the largest earth-moving project in the history of the United States at the time when it was being built. Because you get out there and most people look at it, they think, well, this place has been here forever, but it is actually a man-made lake. Or lake system, I should say. There's a lot of parts to the system, but all built by, it started April 18th, 1939, but they did the whole project in 2.5 years, had to move 900 families out of there, did the whole thing in 2.5 years, just incredible feat.
That is amazing. I mean, because it looks like an ocean, it's so big.
It is. You get out there sometimes, I mean, and you know, the South is known for some quick thunderstorms, too. You get out there, and it can get pretty rough. You do want to be careful. I mean, I don't suggest to people to just come out here and jump onto the lake with their little John boat and start heading across, because it is a long lake. I mean, it'll take you a long time to get across. And when we take the tour boat from where we are, the Santee area, all the way down to the far end of the lower lake, it takes us about 5 hours to get there. It's about a five-hour boat ride.
Wow.
And people think, well, across the lake, you can't take, you know, it's a long ways.
It is. And you can very easily get lost on that lake with all the inlets and so forth.
Oh, yeah, we get up there in Stump Hole Swamp a lot of times, and we'll be riding around with we'll have 20-some people on the boat, 25, 28 people on the boat, and all of a sudden you'll see a little disgruntled fisherman coming up to us saying, a little sheepishly, can you tell me how to get out of here? So we have a little fun with them first, you know, but, yeah, they get a lot of people who can't get up there and get lost in there. I mean, they get up in that swamp area, and it's a gorgeous place. You're riding around fishing, you know, you feel like you're the only person in the world, and all of a sudden they start looking for a way out, and it can be a little tricky.
Well, you'd be in big trouble if the sun went down.
I mean, some people do have them. I don't know if you remember the fish houses there. Some of the people that would build these little fish houses, and some of them would leave notes on the door or inside. And if you have problems, just, you know, you can stay inside. Just, you know, don't like the place. If you don't take anything from us. But they wouldn't even have locks on the doors of those fish houses. And some people during storms, particularly in a John boat, they'd get out there in the middle. And I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who don't know the whole setup of the lake, but there's swamps in the middle of the lake that you can get to. So you get out across a big open lake into this area covered with trees, and you feel like you're in a nice covered place, but then when you get back out, you have to go across open lake again. And sometimes storms will kick up, and these people get stuck in there and have to spend the night in it, you know, can't get across the open lake. So So.
And I will. And I'll bet to stay there overnight, unless you're a seasoned naturalist or an outdoorsman, would be pretty intimidating.
Yeah, some people worry about that. We do gator tours sometimes where we take out nighttime gator trips. And when the spotlights come on, you see all the eyes floating around, and, you know, you do know your way out of here, people will ask, you know. Yeah, don't worry. We're all set.
Oh, I'll bet. That would be too much fun. I would enjoy that. Of course, you know what we're involved with here, Tim? I have 14 alligators that I've rescued from rivers and lakes here in Indiana, where people have gone to places, South Carolina, Georgia, brought back the baby alligator.
Yeah.
And then they would feed it and take care of it. And, of course, the baby alligator grows up and gets bigger and bigger. And they've decided too much. Yeah. And they've decided that it's too much of a job, or they actually become afraid of the alligator because it gets getting big enough to literally dismember you if it wanted to. And they'll call the local zoo, and the zoo says, "Well, you don't really want it." So they'll just take it to a local river or lake, and they'll set it free. And, so I have to go to these rivers or lakes and catch these alligators that people have abandoned. Now, like I said, we have 14. So it's, I would love to go on that night trip. Maybe the next time we come down there, we'll have it scheduled when you're going to do that, because that would be a blast.
Well, we'll make it a point to do it at night. It's a great trip at night. It really is.
Oh, man. We're talking to Tim O'Connor from Santee Cooper Country down South Carolina. We're going to take a little break here. Be back in a few moments. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
Take me fishing and show me how to drive the boat.
Take me fishing so I can tell you what a great dad you've been.
Take someone you love out on the water and see where the water takes you.
Take me fishing because I miss my boy.
Rediscover the joy of boating and fishing. Get information and get going at takemefishing.org.
Here's a hot topic about our wildlands and living with the natural role of fire.
Yard work is not just a matter of pride when you live in the wildland urban interface. It's also about survival. Here are some FireWise tips that can help protect your home from wildland fire. Prune your trees 6 to 10 feet above the ground. Remove dead leaves and branches and dispose of them before fire season. Water your lawn regularly and store firewood away from the house. Be prepared for a fire emergency by having a plan for your family and pets. Learn more at our website and then sit back and enjoy. You worked for it.
This hot topic was made possible by the Teresa and H. John Hines III Foundation. Learn more about the natural role of fire, how to protect your community, and get the latest fire information. Visit the National Interagency Fire Center website at NIFC.gov. That's NIFC.gov.
We're Rascal Flats. There's a place where ordinary people do extraordinary things every day. That place is called the American Red Cross. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org to learn more.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny! Playing in the cave sure is neat!
Oh boy, a kitty cat!
Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling! What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters?
It's bobcat heavy! Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You're listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. And we're coming to you from my station here in Clinton Falls, Indiana, snow-covered Clinton Falls. Well, just a little bit. I want to remind everyone, we have Tim O'Connor. He'll be back with us in just a few moments. He's a nature guide from Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, which happens to be one of our underwriters. It keeps us on the air, makes it possible for us to broadcast this program every Thursday night at 10 p.m. with some great guests. In fact, next week on the program, Al Jardine of the Beach Boys is going to be on. He has a brand new album out called A Postcard from California. We're going to talk about his new work and also some of the things that went on when he was with the Beach Boys. Should be pretty good. Also, the week after, Bobby Caldwell, nationally known drummer, has played with such bands as Captain Beyond, Johnny Winter, Rick Derringer. He's going to be on the show. We're going to talk about the music of the 70s. After that, Mark Madison of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He recently just got back from Louisiana, and they brought back the archives of a gentleman who was basically responsible for bringing the whooping crane from the brinks of extinction. So Mark Madison will be joining us from his home in West Virginia. And then the last week of December, very excited, we have a brand new artist which we think is going to be really, really big, as old Ed Sullivan used to say. In fact, she's got a couple songs that's going to be in a movie and a television program. Laura Cheadle will be joining us, and we'll have a chance to hear some of that funky music she's so proud of. And we've had the opportunity to listen to it, haven't we, Dr. Day?
It's beautiful, beautiful.
Yes, she's pretty good, so we're all excited talking to Laura. That'll be at the end of the month. Underwriters are, of course, Santee Cooper Country in beautiful South Carolina, Lake Marion, Lake Moultrie, known as Santee Cooper Lakes. Here's the number. Now the golfers are heading down there, so if you've got the hankering to play 18 holes, head to South Carolina. Their number is 1-800-227-8510. They will direct you the way you need to go to the courses and so forth. Or their website, www.santeecoopercountry.org. Also, Jerry Jones at Tire Service Plus in Indianapolis to keep our animal truck on the road. 317-243-0700. And also the Peter and Kathy Weimers, the Weimers from We Want You Cottages up in Chautauqua Lake, New York. Their website, www.wewantyou.com. That phone number, 716-789-3383. And also a big thank you to McGregor Mountain Lodge and beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, right on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. Now's a great time to head out there, folks. I mean, it might snow one day, but the roads are cleared the next. You'll have the place to yourself. The wildlife you will see will be absolutely amazing. And their website is info@McGregorMountainLodge.com. Also Harrison College, right here in Indianapolis. Got a fantastic vet tech school, so if you love working with animals, that might be a career opportunity for you. And that website is www.harrison.edu or their 888 number, 544-4422. That's Harrison College. Our guest tonight is nature guide from South Carolina, though he's originally from Massachusetts. But he's down there in some pretty nice country. Tim O'Connor's with us. And Tim, you said you had a little bit of a cold spell, but that won't last long, will it?
No, I hope not. Usually around here, you get some cold days. You might even, like tonight, dropping into the 20s. Usually, though, by the middle of the day, you'll get back into 60s, 70s. And you get a few days in a row like that sometimes. But overall, it's pretty mild winters. We did actually have some snow earlier in the year. I think it was February or March. We had almost a foot down here in some places.
Wow.
Plus, by the next day, most of it was melted. So, you know, got out and enjoyed it for one day and melts the next day. Yeah, pretty mild climate.
I bet the kids went nuts over that snow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was snowmen in probably every yard around here.
Wow.
It was beautiful. Nice snow. Gorgeous scenery, though.
Good. Oh, it is. is. You know, you go on that trip many times back into the in the swamplands of Santee Cooper country there. Now, does your tour, does it go on both lakes, Lake Marion and Lake Moultrie? The other, I know
yeah, it does. I do the swamp tour most of the time. I'm doing the swamp tour, sometimes the river tour, go up to the Santee River. But I also get down to the lock, as I mentioned earlier. It was the tallest lock in the world when it was built, about 75 feet of lift on average. And I usually do that one in October, but because I stay kind of busy in the spring and summer up at Santee. But I bring the boat down into Monk's Corner and do some trips out of there for just a couple weeks. But we do both tour, both lakes, but particularly the swamp is just so gorgeous, you know, nice area. We have, when you get up in there, there's so much to see there with the osprey. You get so close to the osprey, you can watch them rearing the chicks, you know, the, watching them just learn how to fly. I mean, you see them day by day. You just get, we don't name them or anything like that, but, you know, you feel like you really know them after spending the whole summer with them.
Well, I would have to say I had never seen so many osprey in one particular location.
You know, I've never heard, I've seen people from all over the world get on that boat and go through the swamp, and I've never heard one person tell me so far, and I'm not saying there is not, but I've not heard one person tell me, well, I see more osprey nests at some other place.
Yeah.
Everybody that gets on there says, I've never seen so many osprey. But it's a perfect place for them. I mean, just the environment for it, shallow water, large body of water, so much real estate. I mean, the trees, all those ball cypress, perfect for building their nest. You know, you get a 1,000-pound nest, 1,200-pound nest. Sometimes you're going to need a stout tree to hold it up, and those ball cypress certainly do the job. So they've got a perfect place for them. I think that's what it's just the environment for them is
Is there a particular part of that area that's your favorite that you enjoy especially?
I like a few of the different swamps. There's several there. There's a Sparkleberry Swamp, too. It's also very beautiful. But when I'm doing the tour, I'd have to say Stump Hole. If I'm going on the tour, one overall place is probably Stump Hole Swamp. And we get there from the Santee State Park. It's probably about a 2-mile boat ride getting across part of the lake. Like I say, it's an odd situation. The river comes through the middle of the lake with banks both sides and swamp right there in the middle. So it takes about 2 miles of lake to get across there to the swamp area. But it's well worth the ride. I mean, that's when we give our little history talk on our way across.
Stump Hole is my favorite. I would have to say also that I had never seen so many birds. It was in a different species of birds in one area.
Oh, yeah. We don't normally have eagles, bald eagles there in the middle of summer because there's so many osprey. You know, they don't get along too well. Sometimes you'll see them fighting. But there's so many osprey that it'll keep them out till around September when the ospreys start to disband. Some will be migrating, some just moving to other parts of the lake, then the eagles will come into that area. But, yeah, between them, you've got the great blue heron, great egrets, ibis, cormorants, and hinga, you name it. There's just so much wildlife there. Different ducks that come through, and during the migration, of course, in the fall, there's so many, couldn't even start to name them. Yeah, it's just real diverse wildlife there. And, of course, then there's the gators. And you don't see a lot of snakes out in the open swamp. I guess the gators will kind of keep them in check.
I had always, when I would see the girls from the office, the tourism office at the sportsman shows, I would always kid them about the snakes. And, of course, that's the last thing. They're trying to get people to come. They said, we don't really promote the snakes. That's not we don't feel that's a major attraction as far as bringing tourists into the area.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so. Actually, one time we had a catfish, a pretty neat thing we saw on it. There was a catfish. I'd say it was probably 2 or 3 feet, and two feet probably. I'll go 2 feet. Anyhow, this snake, a water snake, had grabbed it by the lips and dragged it up onto the rocks right by where we parked the boat and was consuming this catfish. It took it all day, but it was amazing. This one lady on the boat, she was on the boat, she says, I am terrified of snakes, she says, but I can't turn away from this. She said, I've never seen this. It's incredible. It grabbed it, dragged it out of the water. The catfish still flopping around, and his snake pushing his body over it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, how many opportunities, had you ever seen that before?
Not like that. I mean, I've seen him eating some, I've seen it several times where a little water snake was eating some smaller fish, some little bait fish. But this was a good-sized catfish. I mean, when it had probably halfway into the catfish, you could start seeing the form of the catfish inside the snake. And it was so defenseless at that point, it could barely move. It was just trying to push the catfish in further and further. And I'd say it took it all day. It started in the morning, and we'd go out on a tour, come back, and then there it is still sitting on the rock, pushing this catfish down. Something to see.
Oh, that's phenomenal.
Fortunately, we did have some people with some good cameras that got some good pictures of it. So,
I bet you'd like to have a penny for every picture taken off of that boat.
Oh, good gosh, yeah, would I ever. Actually, we've got a website. In fact, I'll give it a little plug. It's fisheagle.net. And what we're thinking about doing, I'm not much of a computer person. I don't spend a whole lot of time on it. But the girl who sets up the computer website for me, Marianne, she had suggested to me, and I think it's a great idea, the people that are on the boat, a lot of them have said, hey, we'll send you some pictures. We're thinking of starting something on fisheagle.net where the passengers can send pictures in and she'll post them on there. Because, I mean, some of them sent some great pictures. I mean, amazing. You know, you get the osprey eating the fish, you know. We see that very regularly. They'll be devouring, just tearing apart a fish, and you get these shutter bugs on there and better pictures than I could ever get, so.
Well, I think that's a fantastic idea. In fact, I have several
pictures
from when I was on the boat.
Of it.
Well, any interaction as far as the internet, that gets people excited. That's the reason the popularity of the Facebook is so big. But you're absolutely right. That would be fantastic. So is there one moment you've been out in the lake that you remember over others that you thought, man, this job is just way too cool?
Yeah, sometimes I do say that. I smile going into work every day, like yourself, I'm sure. Going into work, and that's what I tell people. I said, it is really something. I actually do smile going into work every day. I enjoy what I'm doing today. It's so much fun. But a couple of neat ones that I've had, we've had catfish. Probably 3 feet in length, maybe 3.5, 4 feet even sometimes. I've seen it maybe a half dozen times in a dozen years. And I don't know, you may know the answer to this. They're actually mouth-to-mouth, one over the other, and they're locked onto each other.
Really?
And you pull up to them, and it takes them quite a while for them. If you had a net or something, you could actually scoop them up and pull them into your boat. But they're just locked on, and you sit there and watch them, and we've had it on a couple tours. It doesn't happen often. I mean, this is a pretty rare thing, but then they'll finally break apart and swim off their separate ways. But it's a huge thing when you get put two of them together like that. Go ahead.
If I was guessing, I'd probably say it was a territorial thing.
I was guessing something along that line, maybe food, one of them thinking...
Uh-huh.
Going after the same fish. I don't know, though. And I know several other fishing guides who've seen it, too. But that's always a neat thing. That's a neat one. One of the neatest ones, one time when an osprey and an eagle were fighting, the eagle's trying to take the osprey fish. In fact, I had a bird watching group on board. They had chartered the boat. All of them had cameras. Each one of them had a camera bigger than the next guy, you know, video cameras and this and that. And this eagle kept banging into this osprey. And finally they took off, went their separate ways, and we saw them again. They came into sight. They were flying probably 150 feet above us and maybe 40 feet in front of the boat, and this eagle came back and slammed into the osprey, and the osprey dropped the fish. The osprey has fallen out of the sky, regained flight, took off, and as the fish is dropping, we're moving towards it. The fish was probably 10 feet in front of the boat, 3 feet off the water, and the eagle took it out of the air right in front of the boat.
Wow.
Took the fish out of there and flew off with it. And I turned around and said, did everybody see that? And everybody, yeah. And they're all there standing there with their mouths open. I said, how many pictures did we get? And you know the answer.
None.
None. Not a one. Everybody's sitting there with their mouths open.
Well, what a stroke of luck.
No pictures, but it was neat to see.
Oh yeah, I mean you have a group of bird watchers. I mean, what is, that couldn't have been better choreographed than.
No, you couldn't have. You couldn't have. We could have turned the. In fact, that was kind of on the start of one of our trips. I could have turned the boat around. Everyone would have been happy, but. No, it was a neat thing to see.
Now you deal with a lot of tourists. Now,
yeah, we do. In fact, that's a lot of fun because everybody coming down, all the tourists, they're in a good mood when they get there. They're there for a good time.
Mm-hmm.
They get off there a good time. So everybody you're dealing with is in a good mood.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And they come down. I mean, they do, obviously, they do my boat tour, and I'm glad they do. But there's a lot of other things to do in the area, too, as you had mentioned earlier. A lot of golfing packages. And don't quote me on this. I'm not a golfer. I've always said golf is for people who can't fish, but
that's
anyhow,
right.
I think there might be 16 golf courses. I don't know, but there might be about 16 golf courses there.
Wow.
And a lot of other things to do, too, besides the golfing, but golf and fishing very big in the area.
So aiming toward, though, but, you know, I'm in the same boat because people ask me questions about animals. And I've always with the thought that there's never really a dumb question, but there is. Like I remember the park ranger in Colorado in Rocky Mountain National Park said that a lady walked up to him one day, just as straight faced as can be. She said, "When did the deer turn into elk?" So, I know, Tim, that you probably, over the years, without naming names, of course, can remember the one question that stood out in your mind going, that's the dumbest question I've ever been asked.
I've had some good ones. Off the top of my head, nothing comes to me. But well, a good thing I do, because I do field trips, too, with school groups.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes you get on there and they'll get on and you think, oh, they're just glad to be out of school.
Right.
But sometimes the way we'll start the trip is, anybody have any questions? And at first you'll have none. You'll start telling them some of the, obviously when there's children on board, you do a kind of a brief history and concentrate more on the wildlife.
Right.
Well, you get them out there and they will ask you a million and one questions once they get going. Once they break the shell and, you know, they... how many fish are in the lake, you name it. I mean, just send a million and one things that you can't even begin to guess, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I cannot, and I know I've had some that have, I can think of one. One girl asking me what the difference between freshwater and saltwater. And I had a deckhand on that day, and we looked at each other, and he just looked at me and went, salinity? But
one of those has salt in it.
Yeah.
Because you probably said salinity, and that probably just went whoosh.
I don't know. There are some, yeah, there are some doozies.
Well, it would have
a lot of questions.
You know, to do a job that you truly love, I mean, many days we just don't realize how blessed we are.
Yeah, it's a fact that, like I was mentioned earlier, going and smiling. I mean, I get out there every day, and people tell me almost every trip, you seem like you really enjoy your job. I said, well, you know, what's not to like? You're going out for a boat ride? You know, I mean, the people that are going out for it, they get to do it once in a while. I get to do it from around March or so. In fact, I shut down around Thanksgiving. I just did my last tour just the other day for the season. And we'll open back up around March or so, which actually we have a second boat now. I guess it wasn't there when last time you came, a Fish Eagle excursion boat, and that runs all through the winter for just smaller groups, six people or less. But, yeah, I mean, very fortunate to be able to do this. I do usually have to get a winter job, though, or a real job.
Yeah, a real job.
I hate to say the word job, but it is... Some winters I get to do things on the water, like at Charleston Harbor, which, you know, we're not too far from Charleston.
Right.
I go down there and I bring crew boats down there or doing towboat service. This year I'm actually There's a neat little place up in right out of Santee called the Oasis, a little nightlife spot, so I'm bartending for the winter there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's something to keep me from getting a regular job.
Well,
just do that for a couple months till it warms back up again.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, so yeah. What's the biggest gator you've seen down there in your 11 years?
Well, I've never had to put a tape measure on one, fortunately, but I know I've seen them over, I'd say over 12 feet long. I'd like to say 14, but I don't want to exaggerate. I know that I've seen them, though, that were definitely over 12. You may have heard of the lady. They have a alligator season. They just started 3 years ago. They think we're getting too many alligators here.
Mm-hmm.
And one lady got one this year. It was 13 feet, 6 inches, I believe it was, 1,025 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a monster. And it was a lady, actually, ironically, out of Massachusetts again, but she pulled it in. The law here is you can't just go shooting them because they do want a certain, and they don't want them, they don't want the population to get overpopulated, so they're just trying to get a few going.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to get them alongside the boat before you can dispatch it, if you want to put it, however you want to put
right,
it.
Right, right.
And this lady got it on the side of her boat, and apparently she shot it, didn't kill it. She took her knife out and stabbed it.
Oh.
And I thought, well, now there's a lady who can intimidate most any men I know.
Yeah.
1,000-pound alligator takes it out with a knife. I said, jeez.
Yeah.
But anyhow.
That would be, that's a big alligator. That's a really big alligator.
It's huge. They've got pictures of it on the Internet. They've got stories of it. I don't know the lady's name, anything like that. I mean, I'd seen some pictures of it and news articles on it. But, yeah, over 1,000 pounds. And there's been a couple. In fact, she got that one just down the road, the other side of I-95 from us, not too far down there. But that was right around tie with the other biggest one, which was in Stumphole, which is where we do our tours. That was one of the other big records out of there the first year. So there's some huge ones up there in Stumphole, that's for sure.
Well, you have to figure that the one that she had killed had been swimming around those waters for at least 15 years.
Yeah, it's a big one. And average life expectancy is supposed to be about 53 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they could tell how old it was, but I'm sure they didn't get that far into it with her. But there's some huge ones in there. Of course, I swim in that lake. My kids swim there. They water ski. It's not a scary thing. However, you don't want to go jumping in the water on the side of one. You know, I tell people all the time. A lot of people say, well, what's the big difference between crocodiles and alligators? And different ones, people say, well, the nose and the way the teeth are set up on them. And I say, but the biggest difference is if you jump in the water and there, a 10-foot crocodile, he's probably going to come get you, where an alligator will go away from you.
Right.
I think that's a much bigger difference than it is. It's just so much more aggressive, where the alligators are not aggressive naturally towards people, but I don't want to test that theory, you know?
Oh, absolutely not. No. Well, people would ask me that same question, and I would say, well, crocodiles eat people. Alligators
chew
exactly. on them a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't look to us as a food source like a crocodile does or would.
Exactly, and that is the biggest difference, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's absolutely magnificent country, and I tell you tonight, what a great representative to have on our show, because we appreciate so much Santee Cooper Country being an underwriter and helping us put this on the air. And gosh, what a great spokesman you've been tonight, Tim, telling us all about that area. I know lots of people would just love to go. I would love to go down there right now.
Well, I appreciate you having me on tonight, Larry. I sure do. Appreciate the chance to get and talk to you about it. Anybody has any questions, they can certainly call, too. We have that 800-9-OSPREY number, or 803-854-4005 is a local number. You can get us on that, too. And available on fisheagle.net, but if you email me, don't look for me to get back too quick, because I don't spend much time on that computer. So.
Well, you spend a lot of time outdoors, and I understand why, because it is truly a magnificent area, and
We love Santee Cooper Country, and really appreciate you being on tonight, Tim. It was absolutely outstanding. We want to
come back and see us.
Oh, well, I'm going to. I guarantee that. We want to remind everyone that next week on our program, another great guest, Al Jardine from the Beach Boys. We're going to be talking about his new album, A Postcard from California, and also about the old Beach Boy days. Good job, Melissa and Wayne over in Ohio. And Dr. Henry Day, what an outstanding guest we had tonight.
Perfect. Great show.
Great show. We really appreciate it. Tim O'Connor from Santee Cooper Country. And if you head down there, go on the tour, Fish Eagle Tours. If you stop by the tourism office, they'll direct you the way. They'll call him up and make your reservation and everything. So have a great week, everybody, as we get toward the Christmas holiday. This is Larry Batson, and you have been listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.